And joining me on the phone from down in Duluth is Laura Erickson. Of course, Laura is one of those people that, to anybody who has spent any time listening to WTAP or KUMD or other radio stations, almost needs no introduction. She is, probably the most knowledgeable bird person I know. Maybe that there is. Possibly that there is. And in studio is Betsy Bowen, who maybe is the best artist I know. Or is. Yes. At any rate, they are here to talk about a brand new book that just is coming out called Hawk Ridge, Minnesota's Birds of Prey. Thank you both so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks, Bob.
Really appreciate it. Laura, first of all, how did this book, now this is the second book that you've done with Betsy, but as far as your part of this book, how did it happen to come about?
The University of Minnesota Press was interested in doing a follow-up to Betsy's and my 12 owls, and they, the marketers decided to put Hawk Ridge as the main part of the title, so that's what I made the focus.
Okay, so they kind of decided for you what you were going to write about and also what Betsy was going to illustrate.
Right, yeah. Except, you know, Betsy always puts her own artistic spin on things, and I live right under Hawk Ridge, so it was a natural for me.
What I was asking Buck, my co-host, this earlier, what is it about raptors that interest us so much or keep us in awe of them?
Well, they're so exciting. Yesterday, I had one Cooper's hawk that was migrating through that spent a couple of hours just harassing the crows in my backyard and my neighbors, and I'm working at my computer, and the crows would be giving all these Corvid swear words, and I don't think that the Cooper's hawk was successful. I think he finally went on. When they get either a crow or a blue jay, which I also had quite a few of yesterday, the birds seem to hold an Irish wake where they just go on and on and on for hours, sometimes usually at least 30 or 40 minutes, and I didn't hear any of that, so I presume it just finally gave up and moved on.
Now, for those of our listeners who don't know, what is Hawk's Ridge, and why is it the title and the focus of this book?
Hawk Ridge was named the very first of the important bird areas of Minnesota because it's a uniquely important spot for not just observing raptor migration, but actually keeping track of it. It's open enough, it provides just an amazing vantage point. So people for the past 45 years have been counting and catching and banding hawks up at Hawk Ridge. Duluth is at the very end of Lake Superior. So hawks, I mean, you get a bazillion raptors flying through up in, you know, your neck of the woods up in Grand Marais and all along the North Shore. Wherever they happen to join the shore, they hang a right and keep going. And Duluth is at the very end of the lake, so we're the ones who get the biggest number.
So do they know that they shouldn't be flying over water? Obviously they do, to make
exactly.
that right. What is it about the flying over water that they don't like?
Well, at the edge of the water, the land temperature versus the water temperature provides thermals right at the end of the water. And thermals hold them up. Mm-hmm. They actually provide what would feel like a really stiff wind to us that just carries them up as they're spiraling. And so that's ideal. Right over the water, you get the very opposite thing called downdrafts, which can, you know, if a hawk catches a downdraft, it's going to carry them right down into the water. And they don't get updrafts or thermals over the water itself, so there's no advantage and a lot of serious disadvantages to flying over the lake. There's also herring gulls, which will literally drive one down into the water so it drowns and then they can eat it.
We're visiting with Laura Erickson from down in Duluth and Betsy Bowen. about their new book that Laura wrote and Betsy illustrated, Hawk Ridge. Betsy, I noted in the artist note that the paintings in this book, you said, were done at an artist compound on the Gulf Coast of the United States. Why were you there?
Well, I was there. This was Port Aransas, Texas, and I spent most of the winter there, and it coincided with this book project. So I just happened to do the work on it there. My son Jeremy's got a print shop in that town too.
Oh, I see.
So we did some printmaking, and then these are paintings, this book. And so I did that in the little studio at the pottery. So I was there, just to spend time, I guess. Mm. I mean, I have enjoyed it there.
But you knew you were going to be doing this project while
yes,
you were there.
Yes, uh-huh, took it with me.
So what did you have as models for the birds down there?
Well, one of the bonuses was that I had been going with my daughter-in-law to the animal rescue place there, and they have birds and sea turtles. So there were some of the hawks here came through. One of them, I did have a chance, a red-tailed hawk named Reba, have a chance to photograph and draw, and that's the reference material that I used for the red-tailed hawk in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And she won't be released because she was blind in one eye.
Mm.
But there were others there that were just being rehabbed and, you know, then were able to be released.
Yeah.
There were owls as well.
So how did you decide between the two of you, and I'll ask you this, Laura, excuse me, what birds were going to be drawn or painted?
We chose every hawk that's ever been reported at Hawk Ridge. So it's all the hawks and falcons and vultures that have ever flown over Hawk Ridge.
Well, and that was really interesting because I noticed that there are some that don't come very often.
No,
for instance,
you're right,
the black vulture has only been there once.
Right, but we decided to include it so it would be all-inclusive. The timing of the book turned out to be amazingly wonderful because some people who do research at Hawk Ridge had just gone through the 45 years of records, thrown out ones that weren't adequately documented, and came up with really solid numbers. So for each species, for the very rare ones like that and the Mississippi kite and things like that, there are way fewer sightings, but they're all up to date as of last fall's migration.
Well,
made the book obsolete because they broke the record for the earliest date ever for Mississippi kite this year. And they banded one for only the second time ever. The day Betsy and I were there, one flew over right at the end. And before I got to my car, somebody ran up and told me to turn around because they had caught it. And so I got pictures of it in the hand, too.
Well, now, Betsy, for the ones that are really rare, I wouldn't guess that how do you do those?
Well, you know, I mean, I call them all up and just make appointments so they could show up. Right.
Don't they do Skype?
And it worked for that black vulture. That's amazing.
A lot of it is photographs, from books or internet. And, I've not actually seen some of these birds.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, I love to watch for the birds and what, you know, what birds I can have some, you know, live experience with. I love that part. And then the rest are just what I can find.
Sure. I noticed that, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, Laura. Is it a GYR Falcon.
Gear Falcon.
And I think that's the one that's only been here 11 times since 1979. And my co-host, Buck Benson, was wondering if it, perhaps that was the same bird that just came back 11 times.
No, it's not likely. And I think they've caught them at the banding station a couple of times, and the birds were unbanded, and then they put a band on its leg. So, but we've also had deer falcons. You're more likely to see a deer falcon in the Duluth Harbor in the winter than at Hawk Ridge. They often arrive in the harbor after nobody can get access to Hawk Ridge because the road isn't maintained in the winter.
Sure.
So, but they do turn up in the harbor, and when they do, it's always birds. They manage to trap them almost every time, and it's always a bird that they've never had there before.
So we know it isn't the same one.
Right.
Just coming back for vacation.
Right.
Once again, we're visiting with Betsy Bowen and Laura Erickson about the new book, Hawk Ridge. Now, is the book out, Betsy? Has it been released yet? Or I know that, and I want to talk to you both about that. You're giving a talk tomorrow, I think.
Yep.
At Hawk Ridge.
Right, tomorrow afternoon.
But is the book out?
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
I think local bookstores have it.
Oh, good.
At least a few copies. It's been shipped now, and like even places like Amazon ran out of their first shipment, but they have them in again. And so bookstores, for some reason, bookstores usually get things later than Amazon, which isn't fair. But I think they're all getting them now, too. So.
And that's pretty timely, not only because of your talk, but also because of this is when the migration is taking place for most of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Betsy and I were really under the gun to get this book finished because they did plan to release it during the peak at Hawk Ridge and managed just under the wire to have books up there last weekend. We had an event there, too. Last weekend was the big Hawk Ridge weekend. When.
So timing is everything.
Right.
So when did you both finish it?
April sometime.
April.
Okay.
April. Yeah.
And how much time, when you put a book together like this, how much time did the two of you have to spend together? Or have you ever met?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
We've met, but we didn't spend much time together. She was down there, and I was up here, and I was really getting a lot of feedback from the researchers at Hawk Ridge and getting so focused and bogged down with all that stuff that I didn't have time to think about anything else. But fortunately, Betsy's a self-starter. And
right. And I would, send by email photos of what I was working on,
mm-hmm.
the mm-hmm. paintings as they occurred, and then Laura could comment.
And I was going to ask you about that. Did you have some input, Laura? Did you say to Betsy, whatever you were painting from isn't quite right?
The only real trick was making sure that they had Hawk Ridge as the vantage point.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, it all... The very few suggestions I had, Betsy took.
Well, whoever's responsible, that's fantastic. I mean, the paintings, the illustrations are just beautiful. They really, truly are.
Thank you.
And the reading it was also, even for a person who may not have the same interest or devotion to birds that perhaps you do, Laura, really interesting stuff about the birds. And the thing that struck me, I guess, the most, and that maybe we could just talk about in the last couple of minutes that we've got, about the peregrine falcon and their speed when they drop. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's also potentially lethal. One person I know who actually timed one going over 200 miles per hour, he he lived in Ohio and managed to get some police radar, and he calibrated it ahead of time and used more than one radar gun because there was one banded individual in Cleveland that he knew was breaking 200 miles an hour, and he had to prove it. But the bird ended up being killed in a collision at one point. So that, you know, that is an extreme speed, and it's faster than physicists thought they could go.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned in your book that according to physics, a free-falling peregrine falcon or any other body should descend at 238 miles an hour, and that one was clocked at 273 miles an hour.
Yeah, they do what's called hyper something.
I would guess.
they manage to extend their neck, get more streamlined, and, you know, become sort of like the Concorde. Right during the stoop. That is only in a direct vertical, what they call a stoop. When they're chasing something, they normally only go about 80 to 100 miles an hour. I mean, that...
Barely poking along. I don't know how they eat.
But mergansers can go, you know, 70 or 80 miles trying to elude them, so they do need to go pretty fast.
Well, now, Buck was just passed me a note wondering if they've got disc brakes to slow down from that, but other than a collision with something, which is clearly unfortunate, they're hurtling toward downward at in excess of 200 miles an hour. How do they pull out of that? How do they...
They just change their body conformation.
Wow.
And so, you know, they're in the hyper-streamlined position, and they bonk the prey. What they want to do when they actually get to the prey is either be going the exact same direction as the prey and match the speed so that they won't be absorbing excess shock.
Oh,
or
sure.
They'll bonk it with their knuckles, with their toes closed, so they can't accidentally catch, you know, a claw in the feathers, and you know, at that speed, it would either break their, it could even break their toe off. So, but they have to bonk it in such a way that the animal gets all the shock and just starts being in free fall, and then the peregrine can slow down to grab it. One of the places you can watch peregrines hunting sometimes is in downtown Duluth in the spring when they are raising babies in a nest box on the Graceland building in downtown Duluth, the big Hotel Duluth building.
Yep.
The parents are always bringing food to the babies, and once in a while, you'll get to actually see, you know, them get something. More often than not, the male goes out of town and brings stuff back. I don't know where he goes, but he brings back a shocking number of black-billed cuckoos. I don't know where he has, you know, that
where
little
his source
population
is.
That he finds. But, yeah, they... once the babies start flying, the parents will, like, carry things up and drop them in the air for the babies to catch and stuff. And Hawk Ridge Bird Observatory has people downtown. It's funded partly by Minnesota Power. And people will show you the falcons through a spotting scope. Someday we're going to actually have a nest cam where people can watch them up close and personal, but right now you get the next best thing, plus you get a lot of information about it. And when they're doing the dramatic flights, nest cams can't show that.
Right.
So it's a really cool thing to have right here in Duluth.
That's great. Well, now, before I let you both go, and again, I want to congratulate you both. The book is really special. It really is great.
Thank you.
And your talk tomorrow at Hawk Ridge, Betsy, what time is that?
It's from 1 to 2.
Okay. And open to the public?
Yeah. Well, they request sign-ups.
Oh, okay.
At either mail@hawkridge.org or 218-428-6209.
Wonderful. Well, again, it's a beautiful book, and I want to thank you both very much for being with us this evening. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
A pleasure.